Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
Guys, I want to welcome everybody in to another bonus episode of your favorite peas. Two peas on a podcast. I'm self-proclaimed, by the way. I don't know if we're everyone's favorite peas. I just tell you that to make you believe that. Gerald is here. We're doing another bonus episode, and we are starting the 1990s. If you listen to the show regularly, you will know that I just wrapped up our 1980s bonus collection. So this is the very first bonus episode that has to do with the 90s. We're going to cover the decade of the 1990s in the second half of this year, 2018. The first one I'm very excited about was also the first one that kicked off the 80s collection, which is soundtracks. So we are going to do 1990s movie soundtracks. I brought along, as usual, an awesome panel, podcasters all of their own, and they're friends of mine as well. And I talk to all these guys on social media all the time, Twitter, Facebook. Let's go around the horn and introduce everyone that's going to help me round out these awesome 90s soundtracks. First up, you know her from Amanda's Picture Show Agogo. I guess you could probably guess her name is Amanda. Amanda, how are you? Thanks for being here.
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Gerald.
Absolutely. And we go way back because actually, you know what? You're special because only two people have ever been involved in a bonus episode with me and Andy, and you were one of them. You remember that? You came on and we talked about TV mothers, TV moms. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. Lorelai Gilmore, of course, made a couple of appearances there. But thank you for coming back. It's so nice to have you. And then this dude is the only one that's a first-timer today. He's our first-timer. And I tell you what, we're in the same network over there at Blazing Caribou. And he has been just a great friend and supporter of 2Ps and helps me with some technical stuff online. He's just a good dude, man. And he's a lot of fun to listen to his podcast over there with Donna as well. Let's say hello to Paul from the Varmints podcast. Paul, what's up, brother?
How you doing, Gerald? Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. I'm living the dream over here. You know, anytime I can talk 80s or 90s, it's a good time. And I'm happy to do that with you today. And like I said, you've never been here. So it's very special to have you. I appreciate you being here, man. And then he's been on before. One time, Chris, or have you been on twice? I forget now.
Just once.
Okay, so you came on and we talked 80s rock albums, and now we're in a new decade, and we're going to talk 90s soundtracks. But say hello to Chris from the Gravity Beard podcast. Chris, how are you?
Good morning, everybody.
Yes. Thank you for being here, too. Love your podcast as well. And, you know, like I said, we're doing the top five 1990s soundtracks. There'll be some music inserted here, some clips and whatnot. We'll have a good time. I'm interested to see what everyone came up with. I had a lot of fun researching my list. I know that for sure. I've been listening to 90s music for the last 3 or 4 days, getting ready for the show here. I wanted to immerse myself in 90s. I've been wearing flannel. It's been a crazy time. So I didn't put any parameters on you guys because I didn't want to box you in. So we'll see what you come up with. I know there's a couple soundtracks that came out in the 90s, but feature a lot of older music. I'm not going to be the one to refute those if you decide to throw those into the mix. And I did not say it. We did it on our 80s soundtracks where we said no scores, no like full blown like orchestral scores. However, if you feel so passionate about one of those that you threw those on your list, that's going to be fine too. So again, I didn't give these guys any parameters. It's literally just a soundtrack that came out in the 1990s. And we're going to go around the horn and give our picks here. And then we'll put it up on Twitter later after the show airs and see what the world thinks about our 1990s soundtracks, our favorite soundtracks from the 90s. So getting us started off, Mrs. Picture Show Go-Go over there. Amanda, are you ready? If you're ready, let's get it going here. And you give us your number five 90s soundtrack.
Well, I'm really glad you didn't say the music had to be from the 90s.
Right.
Because at number five, I have The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Ooh, okay. All right. You'll have to tell me a little bit about that one. Like, who's on that? What are the songs on there?
Some of the songs on there, you get a lot of like disco kind of stuff, Shake Your Groove thing, I Will Survive, I Love the Nightlife, Fernando, Mamma Mia.
Cheated by you since I don't know where. So I made up my mind, it must come to an end. Yeah, I'm not. Are you dudes familiar with the Priscilla soundtrack? I personally am not.
I've never heard of it.
Oh my god!
I remember the movie. Amanda, remind us who's in that movie.
Yeah, you have Terrence Stamp, Hugo Weaving, Guy Pearce, and they are all drag queens who are traveling across Australia to put on a show. And it is, oh my god, I love the movie so much.
That's awesome.
And I mean, if you enjoy any sort of like just kind of throwback to disco era music, it's a fantastic soundtrack. And part of what I think really resonates with me about it is I can't hear those songs without thinking of the scenes from the film.
Yeah, that's always really good. That happened on a lot of my soundtracks as well. I just immediately go back to scenes from the movies. So was Patrick Swayze in that, or am I just imagining that?
No, that was Tu Wong Fu.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So a similar genre, but a different film. Okay. Well, I know of Priscilla,
did those,
too.
Did those two movies come out at the same time? Because in my mind, I connect them. They're different films.
They did come out. Priscilla came out in 94, and Tu Wong Fu, I think, was either the same year or the next year. Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, was 95.
Okay. There you go. Well, good pick to get us started off there. I'm sure that's a crowd pleaser. I remember the film kind of like what Toaf said. I kind of remember it, but I was never really, I didn't know anything about the soundtrack, but
I would say watch it if you haven't, because it's so much fun.
It definitely sounds like a good time, that's for sure. All right, good pick there to get us started off. And Paul from the Varmints Podcast, you get to go now, brother. Your number five 90s soundtrack. What do you got?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I'm so happy that I had never heard of Amanda's pick, and I'm really looking forward to check it out, because I was afraid that we were going to all just pick the same five.
Yeah.
My number five was an absolutely terrible movie from 1997 that was based on a comic book or graphic novel, if you're that kind of a geek.
Mm-hmm.
The movie Spawn.
Okay.
People in charge of the soundtrack said, hey, let's pair up some punk and metal acts with some techno and electronica bands. And it actually worked. They had songs with Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine teamed up with Prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
Slayer teamed up with Atari Teenage Riot. Orbital with Kirk Hammett from Metallica. And the opening track is a song called Can't You Trip Like I Do, which pairs up Filter with the Crystal Method. And like I said, it's the only good thing about the movie. That soundtrack is perfect for putting in your ears when you're working out or when you're having a run. You just pound out the reps. You just keep on going when you hear that music. Absolutely terrific.
Sounds great. I vaguely remember that one as well. Did not make my list because it's been, I probably haven't listened to it since the 90s. But was Korn on that? Do you know, Paul? Was Korn involved in that soundtrack?
Teamed up with, but they were on there, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I remember that because I was a huge like Korn junkie in the 90s. So I feel like I got the soundtrack because they were on it. But good pick, man. Spawn, it wasn't well received as far as the movie's concerned. But yeah, it's from what I recall, it's a great, great soundtrack. All right, cool, man. Nice pick, brother. So listen, and so far, nobody's matched up with me. I don't know about you, Chris, but you're up next, brother. What's your number five 90s soundtrack?
There is no way that anybody picked my pick. First of all, I sourced all of my stuff from a BuzzFeed article, the 99 best soundtracks of the 90s.
Okay.
So my number five pick came from a movie that just barely made the 90s. It came out in 1999, and it's a Wes Anderson film, which he's from Austin. So if you're from Texas, then you've got maybe a little bit more allegiance to Wes Anderson than some other people. But the movie is Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys remember the movie. It was, you know, he came out with another movie before that called Bottle Rocket, which was pretty good. But this is really where I really became familiar with Wes Anderson. The movie's fantastic. Jason Schwartzman played the lead character. He was terrific. I don't think he'd ever been in a film before this. Mm-hmm. He's been in a few things since then. But the soundtrack is great, and it's a mix of things because it's not just straight songs. The soundtrack actually has some of the so it's kind of half score and half songs because a guy named Mark Mothersbaugh wrote a bunch of kind of the background music for the film, and those are on the soundtrack, and they're intermittent as you go through the album. Mm-hmm. But then there's also some really great classics. Wes Anderson was always put together a good soundtrack. So there's a song by the Kinks. There's the song "O Yoko" by John Lennon, "Ooh La La" by Faces, "The Wind" by Cat Stevens. And so I like this soundtrack because kind of like what you mentioned, Amanda, when you listen to the soundtrack, you feel like you're watching the movie again.
Yeah.
And so so for that reason, it's not just a good album. It's actually a good soundtrack.
For old Granddad, I laughed at all his words. I thought he was a bitter man. He spoke of women's ways. The trap you'd and the use you before you even know. For love is blind and you're far too kind. Don't ever let it show. I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was younger, I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was younger.
I think point, Mark Mothersbaugh has made more music for TV and movies and video games than he has when he was with Devo.
Yes. I think you're right.
Yes, maybe so. But what he did on the soundtrack is fantastic.
I need to go check that out. I definitely remember the film pretty vividly, but it's cool. I mean, certain filmmakers, and I think Wes Anderson's one of them. I don't want to mention any others in case they come up today, but there's a handful of filmmakers that the soundtrack is almost like another star of the film. You know,
absolutely.
The music.
Yes, this is the case.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you don't have a quirky, dry, weird sense of humor, you're not going to like this. Like, you'll hate the soundtrack and the movie, but if you do, then you'll love both.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're crazy if you don't love it. Wes Anderson's my favorite director.
Oh yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, like so many other great directors, he's made some really terrible movies, but he's made so many really good ones.
Yeah. Cool, man. Rushmore is Chris's number five. Nice job there, brother. All right. So let me get my list started here. So I tried to do this heart over head thing, and I talk about that on the shows when I do these top fives. It's just literally these are the five that I listen to more than any other soundtracks in the 90s and really today as well. Whether it's a song or two here or there, they always kind of gravitate back to these soundtracks. So they're all very similar. So I apologize, guys. You're going to see my bias kind of shining through here. But all these soundtracks were in the mid 90s and they're all kind of alternative in nature as far as like alternative music is concerned. But my number five is from a film in 1995. It's called Empire Records. Is my number five. It's again, alternative music. I mean, it's got the Gin Blossoms, the Cranberries, rest in peace. Toad the Wet Sprocket, Better Than Ezra, which I loved back in the day. Evan Dando has a solo song on there. He was the lead singer of Lemonheads. So as you can see, it's a very kind of REM-ish kind of alternative scene on this soundtrack. And another thing I was going to say about my five soundtracks, I love all these movies. So all five of these movies I think are great. I own all of them on Blu-ray or DVD. And I think there's something to be said for that the soundtracks kind of go along with my love for the films as well. And kind of like what you guys have already alluded to, but anytime I hear these songs, I can't help but to think of when I saw them in the movies. So my number five is Empire Records. You guys cool with that?
I'm absolutely cool with it. You know, Gerald, mm-hmm. every time I think we've had a conversation, we've talked about this, but we're a very similar age. And so, you know, we were in our high school, college years during this time. Mm-hmm. And there's some movies that could have been in a couple of other different decades. But I think there might be some overlap between yours and my list because we're going to pick movies that we were kind of invested in emotionally because of the age that we were at the time.
Yeah.
And so Empire Records was a very mid-90s movie. And the soundtrack was extremely appropriate and it was great. I almost put it in my top five.
Yeah. And I think we're going to have some crossover too. And I'm wondering if Paul might join us on the crossover there. I don't know. But yeah, I was big, you know, I mean, you know, Chris, I don't know if the other two of you guys know, but Nirvana is like my favorite group of all time. And I was big into what was called the grunge movement and alternative music back then. I mean, I still am. I've become much more rounded in my old age. But back then, I was definitely all I was listening to. So
you mean in your music taste or just in general?
Music music taste more than anything else.
You've literally become more rounded.
Yes, I have. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I just want to clarify.
All right, so that's our number fives. We're going to keep on rolling here. We'll wrap around to Amanda once again for your number four. You started us off with Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. So I don't know, is there a theme, Amanda, or are you kind of all over the place? Go ahead.
I'm kind of all over the place. As I said to you guys early on, this was really hard. I actually made a top 10 and then honorable mentions and two because there's so many great soundtracks. This is the one I feel like I might have crossover. Okay. Pulp Fiction.
You'll be a woman soon. I love you so much, can't count all the ways I died for you, girl, and all they can say is he's not your kind. They never get tired of putting it down, and I never know when I come around who I'm gonna find. Don't let them make up your mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, is my number four. I mean, I cannot hear You Never Can Tell without instantly thinking of the scene where they're dancing at Jackrabbit Slim's. Mm-hmm. There's just so many iconic scenes. Son of a Preacher Man, Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon. All of these songs, if I hear them out, like if I'm out in public, instantly I think of those scenes that they're from. And they're all, you know, have to do with Uma Thurman also, I just realized. So
right, that's true. No, that's, I'm going to let the other two dudes comment, but this is on my list too, so we'll have a little crossover there. I almost didn't put it on there because I don't know if you know, there's only one song that was actually recorded in the 90s on the soundtrack. All the other ones are from a different year, a different era.
Which song was that?
The Urge Overkill version of Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon, which was Neil Diamond song, but they recorded it for the soundtrack. But kind of like what we said about Wes Anderson, I mean, honestly, I mean, Quentin Tarantino has a knack for this, right? I mean, you can look at Reservoir Dogs, you can look at Jackie Brown, you know, you can look a lot of his movies, and he kind of, what's the word? He kind of gives birth to songs that have kind of been forgotten about, you know, and introduces them to new generations. Like Son of a Preacher Man, for example, I never remember even hearing that. I know that was a big hit in the 70s for Dusty Springfield, but that was when I was introduced to it, and I love that song to this day, and it's because of Tarantino introducing that song to me.
I think he uses music, like already like pre-recorded music and soundtracks, as a character. Mm-hmm. Like I watched Pulp Fiction in a film class, and we specifically started talking about how it just starts off as like a soundtrack instantly before you even see anybody else on the screen. It's right. Just the music.
Right, music's very important in Tarantino films. That is for sure. Paul, you into Tarantino? Are you a fan of his, buddy?
Yeah, there's definitely overlap here, and I'm gonna touch on some of the same stuff here in a little bit.
Okay,
but some of that music is just so tied to that movie that you can't help but think of the movie when you hear some of these songs. And yeah, I definitely agree that this is a great soundtrack.
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely a great pick, Amanda. Like I said, I'm going to be mentioning that particular one later as well. So, Paul, you're up, man, for your number four 90s soundtrack. What did you come up with?
All right, for my number four, a movie that Amanda probably did not analyze in film school, and that was a movie based on the recurring SNL skit starring Mike Myers and Dana Carvey, Wayne's World.
Wayne's World.
Yes.
Wayne's World.
The soundtrack has Queen, Black Sabbath, Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, all on the soundtrack. The one song that sticks out for me and that I played on repeat was the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Sticka Micka Nico.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a song that got left on the cutting room floor when they were putting Blood Sugar Sex Magik together. It just doesn't. But it's probably one of the most punk rock songs I've ever heard the Red Hot Chili Peppers do, and it's really awesome. So, Wayne's World.
Hey, excellent. No pun intended. Good pick, man. I love the they're just kind of silly fun, the movies in general, but they had great music, man. Was Bohemian Rhapsody was in the first one, right?
Yes, Bohemian Rhapsody is the opening track on that soundtrack.
Right. I mean that song alone made a reason to put it on your list.
I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo,
Galileo Figaro,
Magnifico.
I'm just a poor boy and nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah, no, we will not let you go.
Let him go.
Bismillah, we will not let you go.
Let him go.
Bismillah, we will not let you go.
Let me go.
Never let you go.
Let me go.
Never let you go.
Never let me
mia, mamma mia.
Mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. For me.
Yeah, I mean, just great 90s.
I've seen it driving in the car, listening to Bohemian Rhapsody and lip syncing to it, and it's just wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. Awesome pick, man. Wayne's World. Didn't think about that. I got to be honest. I didn't. I don't know why, because those movies, I love those movies back in the day, too. But when I was doing my research, I just didn't think about Wayne's World. So it didn't make my list of like 25 or 30 that I have on here, but it's definitely a great pick. So let's see, man. Toe, if you're up, brother, your number four 90s soundtrack, what did you decide on?
Okay, so number four on my list was a film that came out in 1994, and I didn't do it on purpose, but because of a girl, I ended up seeing the film three times in the theater. The soundtrack was fantastic, and the movie is called Reality Bites. Mm-hmm. And you know, this was a mix of tunes. I don't know what combination of them or how many of them actually came out in the 90s, but I guess there was a couple that probably came out not in the 90s, but most of them did. So, you know, so the first one, My Sharona by the Knack, that's certainly not a 90s song, but Juliana Hatfield 3, that was squarely in the 90s. World Party had a song on there, and I actually was a big World Party fan at the time, and they actually had their song on my answering machine at the time. There was a song by the Posies, Lisa Loeb, who was at her peak at the time. The song Stay was on that soundtrack, which is a great track. Mm-hmm. All I Want Is You by U2, an 80s song, but Crowded House. Ethan Hawke, who actually started the movie, actually sung a song on the soundtrack, which is really common. There's a really interesting rap song on there by a band called Me-Fi Me. The song is called Revival. So really, it's one of those albums that from top to bottom, start to finish, you like almost every track on there. And I would, you know, like some of the other ones we've discussed, the music puts you in that scene. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. No, I would agree. Paul and Amanda, do you guys have anything to say about that? Because that's more crossover for me. That one's also on my list.
I mean, I purposely left off Wayne's World and Reality Bites because I figured you guys would be picking them. So, I love the film Reality Bites. I also love that soundtrack.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm going to be talking about it later, so I won't get too deep into it, but that's a great pick, man.
Yeah, it was in the theater watching that movie for either the second or third time where I was on a date where I finally got this girl to go out with me that I think it's the first time I saw a person eat a giant pickle in a movie, during a movie. and it grossed me out. I didn't know why anybody would eat a giant pickle when you could eat candy and popcorn.
Was it the last time, or have you seen that since?
It might have been the last time. Okay. I don't think anybody has seen. Who eats giant pickles? There's so many other things you can eat at the theater. Who does that?
I don't know, man. I guess the crowd that would watch Reality Bites back in the day, the stoners may be doing that, though. I can see that.
I guess so. It's disgusting.
All right, guys. So my number four is keeping with my kind of alternative grunge theme. I love this soundtrack when it came out, man. I was just listening to it cover to cover. There's a lot of more harder stuff on there. But it is a film from 94, also based on a comic book, like Paul mentioned earlier with Spawn. But it is The Crow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you got, you know, I mean, STP, Stone Temple Pilots, The Cure, one of my favorite Cure songs actually is called Burn, is on that soundtrack. Nine Inch Nails, Rage Against the Machine, Violent Femmes, Henry Rollins, Helmet, a song called Milk Toast that I love from their Betty album, which was also put on the soundtrack. Those two albums came out in the same year. Just, I mean, as you can see, it's a little more harder. It kind of goes with the theme of the film, a very dark kind of brooding film. I was into this stuff at the time, so I don't know really what else to say other than to say that. But I just love this album. I remember I just listened to it for probably 6 months straight when it came out. I thought the movie was great. It was, you know, not like anything we had really seen from a comic book adaptation at the time, or really to this day, to be honest with you. Christopher Nolan got a little dark in his trilogy, but aside from that, I mean, this was a pretty dark depiction of a based off of a comic book. So the soundtrack went right along with that.
Don't look, the shadows bring. Whisper me away from.
Crow from 1994 is my number four.
Well, and that movie, of course, resulted in the untimely death of the star Brennan Lee.
Yep, no doubt, which is a sad thing. And kind of, you saw they were going to be redoing it with, I think, Jason Momoa, right, is going to be in it, is what I recently read.
And I think that's a mistake. That's not a movie that needs to be remade.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you on that.
Not to go into too much commentary. I thought it was a good movie. You can hear that movie trashed if you listen to Chris Brayton of the More Gooder Than podcast. They actually covered the Crow, yeah. And they had mixed reaction to it. I remember liking the film, and I thought the soundtrack was great. I almost picked it for my list.
Yeah, I remember Chris and those guys talking about that as well. Okay, guys. Well, thank you very much. We'll wrap back around to the lady on the panel, Miss Amanda. What's your number 390 soundtrack?
All right. Pretty sure none of you have this. Newsies from 1992.
No, I do not. I do not.
I don't either, but it's a great pick.
My age and gender. So I love Newsies, and I kept going back and forth between whether this would be number two or number three, but I landed on number three. I love this movie. I can sing all of these songs. King of New York is one of my favorites. Seize the Day, The World Will Know, Santa Fe. I realize you guys probably don't know these songs.
No.
But any women in their 30s certainly do. And it's a really, I love this movie. I love the soundtrack. For my birthday or Christmas a couple years ago, I got tickets to go and see the Broadway show when it was in Columbus. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love the movie. I haven't seen it in several years, but it's a great film. I don't know anything about the soundtrack, though, I got to be honest. But kind of like what Paul said earlier, I'm excited for some of these picks that will not match up with me because I can't wait to go back and kind of listen to them and add them to some playlists. And that's kind of why, you know, selfishly I do these because I get introduced to new stuff every single episode I do, which is crazy for me because I have such kind of just a broad knowledge of, especially of music, but whether it's music, movies, or whatever. So it's really cool to kind of hear what you guys bring to the table. And that's definitely going to be a new one for me. So nicely done there, Amanda. Newsies is your number three. I like it. All right, Paul, you ready, man? You feeling good over there? We joked that you were the animal on the show today, the varmint. on the show today, but you're up with your number three, brother. What do you got?
My number three is Pulp Fiction. That's probably the first soundtrack I was ever aware of that sprinkled in like some of the dialogue from the movie into the soundtrack. And I mean, probably soundtracks have done that before, but that was the first one that I was aware of.
Ladies and gentlemen, now the moment you've all been waiting for, it's a world famous Jack Rabbit Slim's Twist Contest. Now let's meet our first contestants here this evening. Young lady, what is your name?
Mrs. Mia Wallace.
And how about your fella here?
Lucy Vega.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
It was a teenage wedding and the old folks wished them well. You could see that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle.
Just like we were talking about before, there's songs on there that, like Son of a Preacher Man by Dusty Springfield, Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon by Neil Diamond. And when you hear those songs now, you just immediately think of the movie. Can't help it. Miser Lou was actually a traditional Greek folk song from like the late 20s. And it was recorded by Dick Dale as a surf rock song in 1962. And now it's just everywhere. You hear Miser Lou on a commercial for Swiffers or in a cartoon or whatever, and you just think Pulp Fiction, you know. Yeah, it's an excellent soundtrack.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's still coming up on my list too. You know, I wonder, and maybe you guys know, actually, I don't know, but I wonder what Tarantino's like process is to pick these songs too, because he really is kind of, some of them are a product of the time, you know, but some of them are just kind of like the one you just mentioned, the surfer rock tune. Like, where did he come How did he come up to use that? There's no surfing in the movie. They're not on the beach. I mean, I don't know. It's just a crazy, but it fits so well. And it's because you like we've already said, you just associate it with those scenes in the movie. So it's just crazy. But I always wonder kind of what, like him and Scorsese and some of these other guys, I wonder like what their process is to pick these songs, you know, because they're timeless and they end up on the soundtracks.
The movie is set in California, so it kind of fits.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know for sure, but I suspect that Quentin Tarantino is as big of a music nerd as he is a film nerd, and his tastes in music are so eclectic that he wanted to express that in that movie, and he continued to express that in other movies that he's done. So like all of his soundtracks, I generally enjoy.
Well, I think he goes for some irony too. You know, he loves to put the cheery song, you know, in the background when someone's getting tortured, or you know, I think he appreciates the uncomfortableness when he does a juxtaposition like that with his music. So I think that's part of it too.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure. That's definitely a good point. Awesome. Well, I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if all four of us end up having this one. But great pick, man. Number three for you is Pulp Fiction. Toph, Chris, you're up for your number three, man. What do you got?
Yes. So my number three pick is another Mike Myers movie. Does anybody want to guess what it is?
Is it Austin Powers?
Austin Powers.
No, it wasn't. It was earlier.
So
this is a movie that came out in 1993. It was not based on a Mike Myers character, but it was a really funny movie. It was called So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yeah, that was my second guess. I don't remember what's on the soundtrack, though, so go ahead.
It was a really great soundtrack that actually, Gerald, you would appreciate because it's very reflective of the time. So it had Boo Radley's Toad the Wet Sprocket, Soul Asylum, Big Audio Dynamite. They had a song out at the time called Rush, and that's on there. Gerald, have you heard of a band called Ned's Atomic Dustbin?
Yes, I have. Yes.
So they're on there. The Spin Doctors, The Laws with There She Goes, which was a great song, but it was overplayed until everybody hated it. But this soundtrack is very the song is very reflective. The soundtrack is very reflective of the movie and the time that it came out. So this just screams, you know, Toph High School, College, just like some of the other stuff I'm going to pick.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And again, I love seeing everybody's list. I never in a million years would have thought of that soundtrack. And I probably was bumping that soundtrack back in the 90s, but it just faded away from my memory.
You're probably spinning those songs, just not off the soundtrack.
Right. Exactly. All right, man. Good pick. I got to go back and look up another one. You guys got me doing more research even after we stopped recording today. I like it. So my number three has already been mentioned, and it is 1994's Reality Bites. Matched up with Toph there. So, yep. Kind of like what you said, I like when soundtracks, and actually Pulp Fiction does this too, but I like when soundtracks kind of mix a little bit of current music, current at the time, and, you know, older music. And Reality Bites definitely does that. You know, there's a really cool kind of reggae version of the Peter Frampton classic Baby, I Love Your Way on here by Big Mountain. And then you already mentioned some of the other stuff that, you know, U2 is on there. We've talked about them before in depth before, Chris. But that's a great song, though. All I Want Is You, the ballad. And then, you know, if for no other reason, I got to tell you guys, I had the biggest crush on Lisa Loeb back in the 90s. I mean, the cat eye.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the cat eye glasses and the whole thing, man. It just really did me in. So that song, I mean, that's one of the best. I mean, I guess it might not be fair to her, but I want to say that's probably a one-hit wonder for her, if she would probably be in that category. Would you guys agree with that?
She's probably a borderline one-hit wonder.
Yeah, I mean, she's got a great catalog and she's a great musician, but I feel like, unfortunately, she would probably fall in that category. This is her only big hit, but...
I have to say, I did not have a crush on her, like possibly the rest of you. But I thought that she was super cool. And as a young girl growing up then, like, she was definitely like more of a role model figure for me.
And I thought what I felt was simple. And I thought that I don't belong. And now that I am leaving, now I know that I did something wrong because I missed you. I don't listen hard, don't pay attention to the distance that you're running, to anyone, anywhere. I don't understand if you really care. I'm only hearing negative. No, 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 no. So I turn the radio on, I turn the radio off, and this woman was singing my song. Lover's in love and the others run away. Lover is crying 'cause the other won't stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I actually had the chance... can't remember if she's from the Dallas area or not. I might be confusing her with somebody else. But she played a small outdoor kind of courtyard kind of garden party show here. And I basically got to sit, you know, 50 feet from her while she did a full set. It was one of the coolest shows I've ever been to. And she's fantastic. She's super charismatic. She interacts with the audience. She's just as fun as you would expect her to be. And the music sounded amazing. So yeah, I had a massive crush on Lisa Loeb.
Glad I'm not alone there. Paul, do you have a crush on her as well?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. I guess any dude around in the 90s of age probably had a crush on her. But yeah,
it wasn't cool to admit it at the time. Yeah. You would never say that. You would never say that you liked the song Stay or anything Lisa Loeb ever came out if you were a dude at the time, but
right. Yeah, embrace it, man. Embrace it. Okay. Yeah. So, Reality Bites, my number three, guys. We had a little matchup there, Chris. I think we did that on rock albums, too, if I'm not mistaken. But hey, like you said, we're around the same age, so it's bound to happen. So, we're getting to our runners up, guys. We're getting to the end here, and I'm excited to see what you guys came up with for your twos and your ones. Amanda, you want to get us started off with your runner up?
Sure. So, this is a soundtrack I used to listen to daily, and that is Sleepless in Seattle.
It's so important to make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart to heart you. You sing to one smile that cheers you. One face that lights when it nears you. One girl you're everything. If you win it, comes and goes in a minute. Where's the real?
And again, not really any songs from the 90s, but the movie came out in the 90s in 93. And so many of these songs actually ended up being played at my wedding. And like in the wee small hours of the morning, the Carly Simon version is what's on the soundtrack. But the Frank Sinatra version, I actually danced with my mom to that at my wedding. And I just love the Jimmy Durante as time goes by is fantastic. You know, you have a lot of those classic pop standards, but then you also get like Stand By Your Man and Back in the Saddle Again and just, you know, fun little songs in there. And again, like I said, I listened to this soundtrack daily for years.
That's awesome. And I mean, Tom Hanks is a treasure. Forget about it. Love Tom Hanks. Anything he's in. And as soon as you said Sleepless in Seattle, I immediately had an image of Tom Hanks in my mind, and I thank you for that. I love Tom Hanks. I know we're talking soundtracks today, and he's not a musician, but hey, okay, he popped in my mind there. But yeah, good one. I got to go back and look at the track listing, and I love old-timey music. I love oldies, so to speak, so I'm excited to look into that one. So Sleepless in Seattle is your number two soundtrack from the 90s there, Amanda. I like your list. We do have the matchup on Pulp Fiction, but it's very eclectic otherwise.
Yeah, I figured no one else would have anything I had except Pulp Fiction.
That's fine. I was really close to picking Newsies, so we were close there.
Okay, cool.
but it did make my list.
Cool. All right, Paul, you ready, man, for your runner up? What's your number two soundtrack, man?
I am ready. My number two soundtrack is from a 1999 movie by Paul Thomas Anderson called Magnolia. Most of the tracks on this soundtrack were composed and performed by Amy Mann, who is one of the best, most underrated singer-songwriters going right now. She can do no wrong, Amy Mann. And I mean, I'm a podcaster and I'm supposed to be able to find words to describe things, and I can't tell you how much I love this soundtrack and how much I love what Amy Mann does. And it was really, really hard to pick one track on this record that I liked the most. But yeah, Magnolia, beautiful soundtrack.
How do you feel about the film?
About because it's all been like punk and metal and stuff, and it's just really just a chill, good soundtrack.
That's okay. I was gonna say, how do you feel about the film?
You know, I never saw the film.
Oh, okay.
I heard about the soundtrack and I listened to the soundtrack, and I've never gotten around to watching the film. I know it's terrible, right, Amanda?
sorry. The movie that made me fall in love with Paul Thomas Anderson as a director. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Boogie Nights was that for me, which also, by the way, was a great soundtrack. A lot of 70s music on
and
that.
And those are obviously very, very similar films, so I could see that.
Right.
But yeah, that's the one soundtrack on this list that I did not see the film for.
That's cool.
Well, and if you want to know anything about Amy Mann, you just have to consult our good friend Josh Hallmark. He is a massive Amy Mann fan. So I came across Magnolia and I looked at that soundtrack list and I almost picked it, but I wanted to pick soundtracks that had multiple artists on it. So I immediately sent Josh a message and I said, where does the Magnolia soundtrack land on your list of Amy Mann albums? Because I knew he'd have an opinion. And he actually thinks it's maybe her third or fourth best album. So he thinks very, very highly of it. So Paul, you're right on. Even amongst a lot of great material by Amy Mann, this is some of her best stuff.
Yeah, she's great, man. And like Paul's already said, she's super underappreciated, underrated. Chris Brayton also loves her. He actually gave a shout out to the soundtrack on Twitter when I put that up to see what people's soundtrack favorites were. Great pick. It's on my honorable mentions. I have seen the film, and the film is a little contentious. I know you love it, Amanda, but a lot of people, it's kind of like you love or hate it. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
There's not really a middle of the road there, but
a lot of his films can be that way.
Yeah.
Same with Phantom Thread this year, which I loved, but other people didn't.
So. Yeah. I haven't seen that yet. I've heard great things though. Okay. Awesome. Toph, you ready to give us your runner up, man? What's your number two?
Yes. And yeah, this is probably one that somebody must have picked this. They had to have. And we profiled this movie and talked about the soundtrack on our 1992 episode on our show. The movie came out in 1992, the year I graduated high school. It was by one of my favorite directors who does an excellent job of taking you to a time and place, tells a great story. The name of the album is Singles.
Yeah, I already wrote it down. I wrote it down before you said it. You said 92 and I wrote it down. It is on my, is coming up on my list as well. So go ahead and talk about why you love it.
Well, I love Cameron Crowe. He's hard. I'll tell you, we talked about this on our show. I don't know that this movie holds up. So if you showed this movie, which at the time was a very cool film, and we just ate it up, and it was such a, I'm like you, Paul, words are failing me, but it resonated with that specific generation at that time. If you're a Gen Xer, this movie and the soundtrack just spoke to you. But I think if you showed it to a 14 or 15 or 16 year old today, they would shrug this off in a moment and just go back to whatever they pay attention to these days. But you know, if you like grunge, like you do, Gerald, it's loaded with that. You know, Chris Cornell sings a song called Seasons and delivers one of his best vocal performances I've ever heard him do, which is, it's an acoustic song. So it was really great to hear. Paul Westerberg had one of his best songs on the album with Dyslexic Heart. You know, Eddie Vedder, you know, was in the movie with the rest of his band Pearl Jam, and they had State 11 Trust on here. I mean, Jimi Hendrix even has a song on this album. So, you know, like some other people we talked about, like Wes Anderson and Quentin Tarantino, you know, Cameron Crowe was a huge fan of music. And so he put just as much thought and effort into the soundtrack of his films as he did the film itself. And it really comes out, you know, and, you know, the soundtrack finishes up with Drown by Smashing Pumpkins, mm-hmm. which is an amazing song. Mm-hmm. It goes 8 minutes. So I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, I love Singles too. I love Cameron Crowe. This was really when I got introduced to him, was with this movie. But, you know, I mean, it's great, man. I'm going to talk about it here in a minute, so I won't get too deep into it. But it was a huge deal to me in the 90s because it was basically like a film that was kind of showing me my college years on screen. And there weren't a lot of movies doing that at the time. And Cameron Crowe has a knack for, you know, making it special. And he was able to turn kind of the grunge scene and just kind of make it like a special, unique love story in Singles. I love all the actors that were in it. It's a great film. I'll let you guys have any comments on Singles. Amanda, have you seen Singles?
I have not seen Singles.
Okay.
I'd love for you to go see it, and you'd be a good test to see if it held up.
Actually. Yeah, I mean, movies are what I do, so mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to add that to my list.
Yeah.
Well, and here's a quick trivia about this movie is that this movie almost didn't get made because it was loaded up with grunge songs, and what happened was until Nirvana blew up. With their Nevermind album, this movie was basically just on a shelf. And finally, when Nirvana blew up and grunge started to have credibility out in the world, then finally the distributor said, "Okay, let's release this film." So it almost didn't make it.
Yeah, Paul, you a fan of singles, brother? Cameron Crowe,
isn't that crazy? They wanted him to make a TV adaptation of the movie, and he declined, and that's the TV show that turned into the show Friends.
Oh, Andrew, I did not know that. I could see that. Definitely, Friends wasn't very grunge, but I could see that kind of relationship amongst the
group. He said, "No, I'm going to stick with films, and I don't want to adapt my movie into a TV show." So somebody else took the concept and went and did it.
Cool.
Wow.
Paul, you a big fan of singles or Cameron Crowe or both? Or
gush on it here in a minute. Don't you worry.
Okay. All right. Okay, awesome. Well, let me give my number two real quick. So far, my top three have all been mentioned. We talked about Reality Bites a second ago. My number two is going to match up with Paul and Amanda, but it is Pulp Fiction, the Quentin Tarantino flick from 94. You guys have already described it beautifully. You know, I'll just reiterate that, these older songs that were around way before Tarantino was making movies, it's just crazy that he was able to give them a new life and introduce them to a new generation, of which I include myself in that. Dustin Billy would take me walking out through the backyard, we go walking. Then he looked into my eyes. Lord knows, to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. I graduated high school in 94, and I was really just right around the age where I could even see an R-rated movie. So this was one of the first R-rated movies I saw in the theater, and, it changed me, man. I think Tarantino changed a lot of people that were kind of coming of age in the 90s. You know, he really took that grindhouse cinema approach, and music was such a big deal to his movies, and like we said, the soundtrack is really another star to the film. And I think Pulp Fiction is probably his crowning achievement as far as music is concerned. A lot of people will say movie-wise as well. I don't know if we want to open up the debate there, but I'm a big Tarantino fan, and Inglourious Basterds is probably my favorite movie that he's done from beginning to end as a piece of work.
My favorite, too.
Yeah, and you got David Bowie on that soundtrack and a lot of other good music that you wouldn't expect to be in that era that's being depicted in the film. But he has a knack for it, man. And if he ever stops making movies behind the camera, he could definitely be a music editor for movies in one way or another. So Pulp Fiction is my number two. Real quick, my favorite song from that album, I will say, is probably Son of a Preacher Man. Amanda, if you only listen to one track on there, what is it?
Probably Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon.
You like that version over the Neil Diamond version?
I really love that version.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Paul, what's your favorite tune on the Pulp Fiction soundtrack?
I think I'm with you. I think Son of a Preacher Man. Yeah. I can never turn that one off. Love that song.
Yeah, it's a good one, man. It's a good one. You can bet your bottom dollar to be played on this episode at some point, if not already.
See, I always think of The Office first when I hear that song.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Uh-huh. I forgot about that. But I also love Let's Stay Together by Al Green. That's another one that's on the soundtrack. That when Bruce Willis goes to meet Marcellus for the first time, that tune's playing in the background. Yeah, great soundtrack. Pulp Fiction, as most of us have said already, it's on our top five, so no surprise there. So now we're going to be giving out our number ones, guys, so I'm excited. So we're giving out our number one soundtrack of the 1980s. This is a big deal. Amanda, you ready? Go ahead and give us your
1990s.
What did I say?
80s.
You know why I said that? Because I've been doing 80s shit.
You've been doing 80s forever?
But everything's 80s. I'm so sorry. Yeah, what's your 1980s, though? I'm curious. I'm just kidding. You didn't make that list. You don't have to.
Make that list. I'm not prepared.
I'm sorry about that. Your 1990s number one soundtrack. What is it, Amanda?
This was the first thing I thought of. It was my number one the first time you were like, this is what we're going to do. Dazed and Confused from 1993.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something real quick before you give your spiel on it?
Yeah.
So Andy and I did our show this morning, and he couldn't stick around to do this because he had to work. So he goes, you got to give an honorable mention to Dazed and Confused. That's his favorite soundtrack. And I said, and we had not an argument. I mean, him and I argue, friendly argument. I said, dude, there's no 90s songs in there. It's all 70s classic rock. And he goes, yes, but it was a 90s soundtrack. It was compiled for the movie in the 90s. So he won the argument is the short version of that story. But it is a great soundtrack. Go ahead. What do you love about it?
Yeah, I mean, I love the throwback nature of it. I really like Richard Linklater as a filmmaker. And I think he can be up there with like Wes Anderson and Quentin Tarantino and Paul Thomas Anderson as having great soundtracks with his films. I mean, if you go even, you know, a decade later in School of Rock, he did the same thing with a really well-curated soundtrack. But there's something about the soundtrack in Dazed and Confused. Like, it's another movie where I can hear the song and I can just picture the scene from the film. Like, school's out. Like, I can instantly, like, just seeing all the kids, you know, getting out of school that day. All the like Sweet Emotion, Cherry Bomb, Lowrider. There's so many fantastic songs in that soundtrack. And yes, it's all from the 70s, but I feel like that's such a 90s kind of like indie movie. Like it feels very 70s in the 90s.
And it's one of my favorites, man. Parker Posey's just awesome in it. And the opening scene with Sweet Emotion, you know, the movie opens with that song. It just kind of builds up to the song, obviously, and to the movie. Matthew McConaughey, one of his most memorable roles.
His first movie role ever.
Yeah. And Ben Affleck's in there. I mean, you know, it's just a great movie from the 90s. It really is. And, you know, I was born in 75. My dad was a product of the 60s and 70s and loved this film. And, you know, it just spoke to the time, right? And the music did too. And I love that soundtrack. I love that movie. Great pick. Your number one is Dazed and Confused. There you go, guys. So look at Amanda's list here. So she's got Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Pulp Fiction, Newsies, Sleepless in Seattle, and Dazed and Confused. There you go. There's Amanda's top five 90s soundtracks. You'll have to email me your 80s, though. I'll get that from you, too. All right. Thank you, sweetie. Very, very nicely done. Paul, over from the Varmints Podcast, what is your number one soundtrack, man?
My number one soundtrack is Singles. Now, look, if you're listening to this and the first number in your age is a 2, you need to understand something. All the cool music that you're listening to right now came from this. This is where it started. Nirvana in 1991 and the 10 album by Pearl Jam. And then this soundtrack, this changed music. Like, my mom remembers when she saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan for the first time. I remember when I heard Nirvana for the first time, you know, and this soundtrack just blew my mind. It changed music. It's still influencing music. It made radio stations have to change their formats. Most importantly, it killed hair metal. Like, Poison would be working on their 35th studio album right now if it weren't for this music.
Yeah, ironically, it killed Citizen Dick. bands like that. But yeah, you're right.
No, this was a sea change in music, and it has to be my number one. It was so influential just on music in general and on me in particular.
Great pick, man. I don't know if you can tell if there's a spoiler alert, but I might be talking about it here in a second, too. So thank you for stealing my thunder there, Paul, but that's okay. You're from Varmints. I'll allow it. Let's see. Toph, you ready for your number one, brother? So number two was Singles for you, so I know you agree with Paul, but what is your number one soundtrack from the 90s, man?
Well, I'll give you my number one, but before I do that, I just want to say I love it when Paul lectures the kids. Anytime he pulls the kids aside and says, "Listen to me, kids, get off my," and then at the end he says, "Get off my lawn." So I like Paul's "Get off my lawn" routine, but and I also agree with every single word he said. So I am curious to see if the movie holds up. So I'd love to have somebody go watch it, but the soundtrack is indisputable. It's amazing. My number one is a movie from 1994. Jump in and guess if you think you can. It was a comedy. It wasn't taken very seriously, but the soundtrack is fantastic. It's I think almost everything on my list, I like the soundtrack as much as I like the movie. Singles was almost my number one. I kind of went back and forth between those two, and then this one won out. And I think it did mainly because this was a really quirky group of bands. Most of them on the list weren't that well known. They weren't totally obscure, but they weren't super mainstream. There was a sequel to this movie, and then there was another sequel that was done better than the first sequel. The movie is Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, yes.
And although the movie is kind of a punchline, although it's often quoted, the soundtrack is freaking awesome. And none of, you haven't heard of any of these bands. So what's interesting is that the first track on the album is a cover song, and it was a song by XTC, and I like the original better than the cover, but it was covered by Crash Test Dummies. So why would Crash Test Dummies cover an XTC song, and then how would it end up on the soundtrack? I have no idea. I would love to talk to whoever put together the soundtrack, and just like we've said in this episode, we want to pick the brain of some of these people. How do they come up with this stuff?
Let's begin.
Then there was a song by Dead Eye Dick, a new age girl, which is fantastic. Pete Droesch had a song on here. The Butthole Surfers with Hurdy Gurdy Man, which we've talked about on an episode of Playlist. I don't know if I was on that episode, but some people are disturbed by that song. Some people love it. I happen to love it. D-Light had a song on the soundtrack. The Proclaimers, you know, who are absolutely one hit wonders. They had, I guess, their second song on the soundtrack. And then I have a personal anecdote. When I was in college, I played music for a youth group, and I don't know how it happened, but I was really glad that it did. We held an area-wide meeting for this youth group in one of the bars that I used to go to, where I used to see small bands perform. And so that night, so we met whatever, like 5, 6, 7 o'clock with the youth group. And that night, Dead Eye Dick was supposed to play, and they had all their stuff already set up because they had done their sound check earlier in the day. And so to this day, I tell people that I opened up for Dead Eye Dick because I played on stage in front of all their equipment. And I have a buddy that played their drum set for youth group that night. So I have opened up for Dead Eye Dick.
Nice.
Just because they played 3 hours later doesn't mean I didn't open.
Nice. That's awesome, brother. Great story. Great pick. And I want to say that you just gave me deja vu, because I want to say I either owned or one of my friends owned that soundtrack, and we did rock out to that back in the 90s. But again, it didn't make my list and it wasn't on my radar. But now that you're mentioning it, it's bringing up some memories there. So I have to go back.
It's so fantastic. Definitely worth. I think the movie holds up too. I think the movie's still funny. It's ridiculous, but I think the movie and the soundtrack still hold up. Both of them are great.
It's hilarious, man. No doubt. All right, guys. So my number one is almost a full blown crossover, but it is also Singles from 1992. You guys have really eloquently, you know, talked about this. I had a love story with this movie. Really, because like I said, it just encapsulated kind of what I was living at the time with the 2 or 3 years after this movie came out. You know, I mean, Alice in Chains performs in the movie. They're on the soundtrack. You already talked about Pearl Jam, and Cameron Crowe has kind of a love affair with Pearl Jam. He's friends with the group. He did the Pearl Jam 20 documentary a couple years ago. He directed that. If you guys haven't seen it and you're a Pearl Jam fan, you should definitely check it out. There's a Led Zeppelin cover on it. Mother Love Bone, who is one of the very, very, very first, quote, Seattle bands, is on the soundtrack. We talked about Soundgarden. You know, Nirvana's missing from the soundtrack, yes, but Nirvana really just changed the world, in my opinion, but at least the music world, but they also changed me, and my kind of love of music changed from that point on. Really, when Bleach came out in the 1990 area, I started kind of shifting my allegiances music-wise and started leaning more towards grunge and alternative. So when this movie came out, it's just like, holy shit, like, you know, this is mainstream now. This is a thing now. And you have a director like Cameron Crowe who is behind it. And like I said, he created kind of a unique love story there. So... It's interesting that you said what you said earlier, Toph, and I really kind of thank you big time, actually, because I have a 16-year-old daughter that I don't think has ever seen this. So I'm going to show her this film, and I'm going to see. I'm going to do a little test. Because this is before cell phones. This is before social media. This is when you had no choice but to go out to the club or, you know, wherever you went, grocery store, library, to meet people. So yeah. Obviously in 90s Seattle, where are people going? Where are young people going? They're going to see live music. They're going to see bands. You know, I wish I was in Seattle in the mid or early to mid 90s to see some of these bands that came out of that area. So I'm going to show this to her, and I'll get back to you. I'm going to do a little. I'm going
to
do a little.
Please do. Yeah. I'm very curious to see how that turns out.
Yeah, I'm going
to
do a little experiment there. So Singles from 1992 is my number one soundtrack of the 90s. Amanda, you have to go watch the film. You have to let us know.
I'm thinking maybe I should have some of you guys on to cover that for my podcast. So,
oh, gladly. Count me in. Anything, and I know the Toph's going to agree with this, but any reason for me to rewatch that film? I'll do it.
Yes, please. Is what my response is.
Absolutely, Paul. If you want to do an episode of whatever animals are in Singles, we'll do that as well. And we'll come on, varmints, and talk about that too.
I think other than a couple of feral cats, I don't think there's any animals in the film.
I was gonna say, I think I remember a cat. But that might be it. Yeah, I think that. All right, guys, that's it. I'm going to let you guys tell everyone where to find you. That was our top five soundtracks for the 1990s. It was a lot of fun. I love all these guys that are on the show today. Let's go around the horn real quick, guys. Just tell them where they can find you on social media or your show online. Amanda, where can they find you, hon?
Yeah, Amanda's Picture Show Agogo on social media. I'm on Facebook and Instagram under the full name and on Twitter at Amanda's Pick Show. And you can find all of my past episodes and other podcasts that I do at my website, AmandaAgogo.com.
Cool. Amanda, thank you so much for being here. You know I love you. I appreciate it. I did forget to do our honorable mentions, but I'll tell you what, we'll do it at the end. Let's keep going here. So let's see. Paul, where can they find you and Varmints over there online, brother?
Yes, absolutely. The Varmints podcast is at blazingcariboustudios.com. You can also listen to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get podcasts from. It's a show about animals. It's family friendly. We have a lot of fun, me and Donna, doing it. And Varmints podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And also you can find me in the Underdog podcast community on Facebook.
Yeah, you know I love you, Paul. You're a great guy, man. You're a big help to me, and I love Varmints. Love listening to that show. You guys are a lot of fun. Thanks for being here today, man. Hope to have you back again soon. I know it was the first time for you, so thanks for being here.
You.
And the Toph over there on Gravity Beer, where can they find you, brother?
Yes, sir. Gerald, thank you so much for having me on. This is, man, this is a blast. So I basically run three shows off of a single feed. It's Gravity Beard. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you listen to podcasts. But the show are Gravity Beard, and then I do This Week Today with my buddy out of Florida, Adam Lord Saunders, and then myself and Phil and Nick from My Thing Can Beat Your Thing. We do Blunder Dogs, which is the official IndiePod blooper show. We wrapped up season 1. 1 recently, but we're going to start up season 2 here in early May. We're on Twitter. The Gravity Beard is The Gravity Beard on Twitter. We've got Twitter pages for those other shows as well. But or you can email us at contactthebeard@gmail.com. But yeah, come check us out.
Awesome, man. And as always, thank you for being here, Chris. It was a lot of fun to have you, brother.
Yeah, I
know this is your wheelhouse. All right, so we're going to wrap up with honorable mentions. So let's go around the horn. Amanda, if you did not hear any soundtracks get mentioned today, please don't give me the 100 that you have. But
I won't.
You could throw out a few.
One I want to shout out as a general, like, studio soundtrack, Disney, because they had Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, The Lion King, Nightmare Before Christmas, all fantastic soundtracks, original pieces. I'll just round out the top 10 that I made that didn't get mentioned by you guys. Goodfellas, fantastic. I Can't Hear Then He Kissed Me Without Thinking of That Long Tracking Shot Through the Restaurant. Mm-hmm. Clueless was very close to making my top 5. The Parent Trap, which again has a lot of pop standard classics, but also There She Goes by The Laws, and 10 Things I Hate About You, which has a bunch of great 90s and other stuff on it.
Yeah, good ones. All right, definitely Goodfellas. Scorsese is similar to Tarantino. He has a knack for kind of putting the right song in the right scene that makes you just think of that scene when you hear it. So good honorables, Aaron. Thanks so much for being here once again. Paul, over from Varmints, give us a few of your honorable mentions that did not get shouted out yet today, buddy.
All right, I have 2. The first one is Trainspotting. Very good soundtrack. Very cohesive soundtrack, meaning, I guess, that if you are in the mood to watch Trainspotting and you're in a spot where you can't watch Trainspotting, you just and you feel like you've watched the movie. I have to be in kind of a specific mood for it, so it didn't really make my top 5, but it's a very, very good soundtrack. It has Iggy Pop on it, David Bowie, Primal Scream. It's terrific. And the other one I chose was a 1990 movie starring Christian Slater. I don't know if you guys remember it. It's called Pump Up the Volume, and it's about pirate radio.
Mm-hmm.
And since music was pretty central to the plot of the movie, the soundtrack is really, really good. It's really diverse. If nothing else, it's worth listening to for Henry Rollins and Bad Brains. They do a cover of MC5's Kick Out the Jams. That song makes me really happy. And it's a good soundtrack.
Yeah, Pump Up the Volume is actually my wife's number 1. When I was talking to her about this show, that's her favorite soundtrack from the 90s. I said, honey, I don't think I'm going to put it on my list just because I didn't know it as well as she did. But she was pretty adamant that was her favorite soundtrack. So good shout outs there. And then Toph, do you have any honorable mentions, buddy?
I do. And I meant to say this earlier, but I was so glad to be able to come on here, of course, with you, Gerald, but also with Paul, because Paul's my twin brother. But my honorable mentions, I did have Pulp Fiction. That almost made my list for sure. I put Good Will Hunting on my honorable mentions. It's not really known for its soundtrack. It's really known for being a really excellent film. A lot of the tracks on there were by Elliot Smith, and he's got a really specific tone that he brings, along with some other artists that were on there that were great. Empire Records. I think, Gerald, you mentioned Empire Records. That was great. And then my last one was, and you can't overthink the movie or the soundtrack, and that was the 1998 film Can't Hardly Wait. Yeah. It was just a great mix of songs that represented the late 90s really well, and it's a really fun listen. Again, there's no depth to it. It's just your typical teen movie, but I like the movie and I like the soundtrack.
I agree. No, that's a good one too. That and Can't Hardly Wait is actually on honorable mentions too. So just a few that did not get mentioned today, which is surprising to me, but I'll just run down them real quick. Philadelphia, which has the amazing Bruce Springsteen track on there, Streets of Philadelphia, one of my favorite original movie songs, if you will. Let's see, Kids. I don't know if you guys know the indie film Kids. But Folk Implosion has a great tune on there. Natural One, that's still one of my favorite songs to come out of the 90s. Natural Born Killers was an awesome compilation that Oliver Stone put together for his film with Woody Harrelson and Juliette Lewis. A Judgment Night, which is very similar to Spawn, actually, where it has a lot of meshing two different genres, hard rock and rap. Every song is a rap artist and a rock artist kind of merged together. And then a feel-good movie that sounds like a 60s album, but it's a 90s album, is That Thing You Do. We talked about Tom Hanks earlier, so I want to give a shout-out to that film. Also, one of my favorite original movie songs, That Thing You Do by the Wonders, the O'Neaters. Yo, Neaters. All right, guys, that's it. So thank you for listening to our 90s soundtracks episode. Again, we're going to be doing some fun stuff from the 1990s for the rest of this year. So make sure you check us out on Patreon to get early access. And if you don't, they will be released to you eventually as well, out to the public. But find all these guys in the show notes. I want to thank Chris, Paul, Amanda for being here. You guys are awesome. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, this is 2P's Bonus signing off.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.